Hey guys, welcome back to Introduction to Epistemology is I think the title I'm kind of going with here. One piece of big news up top is this is now a podcast as well as these YouTube videos. So if you prefer podcast form, just search for the RLW show on any podcast platform and you should be able to find it. And it's going to start out basically just the audio rips of these videos, but I'm sure it's going to turn into more than just that. I plan to at least. One difference immediately is videos I'm trying to keep short just because it's harder to just sit down and watch a video. Whereas if I start doing some podcast exclusive stuff, they could go, probably a bit longer. So jumping back in to epistemology. Just to very briefly recap, I covered kind of baseline epistemology, just starting from let's pretending like you wake up out of a coma. How do you immediately make sense of things? And ultimately, what is the best way to make sense of things? And we came up with the idea of I think, therefore I am. So I am a consciousness, and that's in a sense irrefutable or arguably irrefutable. And then I gave the idea of critical realism. So the world is real, but we can't take it in naively that the ways we process information and sense it is faulty. But ultimately, we are interacting with something real and can get there to that knowledge to one degree or the other. We'll never get it perfectly. And then I brought up the idea of no contradictions, logically speaking, no contradictions, and the principle of explosions, which shows that if you allow a contradiction into a logical system, then the system completely breaks down and everything becomes meaningless. I wanted to take a little bit more time on that part because it actually is a big deal, and specifically, it's a big deal when you're talking about religious belief, I think. And it's something in my own life that I thought a lot about as I went through my own doubting and reflecting and talking to other Christians. So I actually planned for a while to to write a blog post called Logic Always Wins. And I wanted to, especially for my skeptical friends, to describe the force of logic to show I get it because obviously religious people, they get the bad rap of blind faith, of believing in spite of evidence, that sort of thing. And I also wanted to write it for my Christian friends as well to show that viewpoint. And basically, so starting out, we throw around the term casually irrational, illogical a lot. If you use it casually, that's one thing, but if you take it more strictly, you have to be careful how you use that term because really, I would say people as we walk around are constantly being logical in the sense of following little logical steps, like if this, then this. Man, I keep bumping this table and the video is shaking. So it's when we say people are being irrational, we don't mean they're being absurd usually. Like, and what I would say is like true literal illogic, being illogical. So just to give an example, it might be irrational to keep, let's say, I should have thought of an example before I started this video. Let's say to take on the same career as your dad because you want to please him, even though it makes you totally unhappy. But there's actual logical steps there. Like within their little world, it makes perfect sense. And what I used to call it, like just to myself thinking through it, because everyone does that sort of logic, I called it my superficial logic. It's logical, but it's based on the wrong premises. So in that sense, it's the bad premises are that happiness is like pleasing your father, whereas happiness has a lot more broad parameters than that. And so there's a bad foundation to it, but the steps make sense. If happiness is pleasing your father, and your father would love for you to be a biologist, then be a biologist. It's logical. True illogic, true not being logical would be to be absurd, which is to say happiness is pleasing your father. My father is a biologist, therefore, let's say, I want to think of a funny one. Let's catch butterflies. Wait, no, that's too close to biology. it would be, I mean, you could really put anything that doesn't fit that one frame of being logical. You'd say, if I should please my father, then purple, you know, or I should please my father, therefore, let me take out the trash in my own apartment, like when he's not there. Like, in other words, it's just like a non sequitur, a true non sequitur. That would be truly illogical. So the point of taking that tangent is, if something's not truly illogical, if you're not talking about something absurd, then there has to be some logic that makes sense for it. The only other category is something that is irrelevant to logic. So let's say in the enjoyment of the arts. So when you're listening to music or looking at a painting, you can say that's not logical, but it's not illogical. It's not statements that don't connect. So my whole point in saying this is, people, especially people who are not as engineering minded, I would say, but all of us, just, we need to be careful when we call something illogical or irrational when we're having precise debates about like beliefs and stuff. Because if something is truly illogical, then it is nonsense, and it is, you're literally saying it's not true. And the reason why this is important is, sometimes religious people will say something is illogical, but they think it's still true. So they'll say, let's take the Trinity. The two things that come to mind immediately in Christianity are the Trinity and doctrine of the atonement, of Christ's atonement. Both are very mysterious, without a doubt. If you are to say they are truly illogical, like, a lot of people will just be like, well, it's mysterious, it's not logical. But this is not the same thing as like enjoying beauty. This is something that does have connected statements about, like, Jesus saved me by dying on the cross, because there has to be something that fills that blank. Now, this is very different than saying, I can understand the logic, that I have all the premises and all the data. We're not saying that. We're simply saying there is a logic out there, even if God only knows it, that makes it make sense. And another really good example that comes up a lot is trying to understand, like, really disturbing Old Testament passages. And for me, when I was doubting a lot and struggling through that stuff, it was potentially devastating when a Christian would say, well, it's just not logical. Just, you know, you have these other reasons to believe, and you know Jesus. So this part just, it's mysterious. It's not logical. So don't worry about it, kind of. And for me, I just wanted them to see, you're saying, if it's literally illogical, then it's nonsense. It's, there has to be something there, or it's not true. And even more ironic, saying the statement, it's not logical, but so just believe, just have faith. The really ironic thing about it, and this is what would grip me so much, is that's a logical sequence of statements. You're saying, if you know God is true and such, accept this as being illogical and believe. That's potentially, on the surface, is self-defeating, because you're trying to use logic to say don't use logic. And I think that's what really disturbed me, and one of the things that would make me sometimes more sympathetic to skeptical friends, because it's like, I get it. Like, you're really asking someone to be schizophrenic, as one apologist used in a kind of another context, but that's a really good way to describe. You're saying use logic here, and then arbitrarily don't use logic here, even though there's no difference, but they're both logical statements, both you can think through them. So use logic to say this part of the Bible you shouldn't use logic for. It's literally, if you take it literally and really try to fit it together, it's nonsense. It's schizophrenic. So once again, this is not to say you can discover the logic for yourself. And that's the other pitfall. you often see this with people struggling with belief, struggling with these heady ideas and what their worldview is it's so raw, and you can get in the weeds so much that you see this sort of example. I saw one person who wrote in to William Lane Craig, who's an apologist and Christian philosopher, and he was saying, like, I can't understand this one part of Christian doctrine. It seems illogical. I'm about to give up my faith. And it was like a minor thing. It was like not a big deal. And that's the other extreme. And that extreme kind of betrays some arrogance, maybe even accidental arrogance, in that the underlying assumption is that by tomorrow, I can understand all the most mysterious parts of the world. It would be similar to a physicist saying, if I can't figure out quantum mechanics by tomorrow and make all the apparent contradictions resolve, I'm out. Physics is false. And that's obviously not true. So there needs to be this backdrop of humility, is the way I like to put it, that you always have to have that backdrop of humility in all areas of life. I'm not talking about Christian belief. I'm definitely not talking about blind faith. I'm just, it's a fact that we're not going to have all the data about any of these things. So you have to have that backdrop of humility. And, but at the same time, it only makes sense to believe that there has to be an underlying logic. If I were God and knew everything, then I would understand quantum mechanics. There would not be a literal contradiction there. So that was, I just wanted to lay that out because I realized that actually is important for religious belief, and that is something that comes up a lot. And a lot of the people who say, oh, it's not logical, it's mysterious, like, I totally get where they're coming from. And their heart is in the right place. And I think part of what they're trying to say, in fact, is don't think that you can figure it all out. G.K. Chesterton in the book Orthodoxy says they try to fit all the galaxies in their head, and they find that their mind explodes. And I think that's what people are trying to warn against, is this trying to, like, no, I will understand it all tonight or else. And, you know, good luck with that. Like, good luck with any area of life saying that. So I totally understand that concern, but I think it's important to recognize that whatever is actually true in the world is not ultimately contradictory. So that's all I'm trying to say. If you think otherwise, let me know. But yeah, good luck with that. So I have to go to a gig now, humble brag. I hope you guys enjoyed this. And, you know, I'm going to edit that part out. It's really bad when you plan a joke, when you think ahead of time, I'm going to do this thing. It just doesn't work. So I'm going to stop this recording now. And thank you to all my new podcast listeners. I'm super excited to have a podcast. I have some cool ideas for it. I think I'm going to set up my first atheist interview for Robert Interviews an Atheist. I have some other little surprises in store. There's going to be a $100,000 giveaway that will never, ever happen. And I will see you guys next week.